Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. The things that we're going to look and see and talk about this morning are going to be difficult, without a doubt. So we ask that you open our eyes and open our hearts to the truth. Remind us that you are sovereign and you're in control, Lord, as we take a look at what's happening in the world around us. Father, we seek to follow you. That's why we're here this morning. We thank you for blessing us with this time, this ability, and most importantly, your word to study so we can know what the truth is and share it. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So today will be slightly different. I planned it like three different times, and I'm basically just going to read to you a bunch of stuff. I have a lot of commentary on the slides that I'm going to show to you, and I don't think that my commentary is necessary, but we'll talk a little bit about why that is. Chances are you're going to get angry today. I've already spoken with a few of you guys who've gotten angry, and I think that it's a righteous anger coming off of last week and what's happening in our school system, what's happening in the world out there, seeing the indoctrination. That word's important. What we're going to see might be a little frustrating, and quite honestly, it's hard to stomach if it's minorly discombobulated as opposed to what my usual class is. I'll be honest with you, I had to stop. Over the last 2 weeks, there were many days that I had to stop and walk out of my office because I just was getting a little too sick. Because just reading through, and all I was reading was websites. And to avoid mental breakdown, you have to stop and put it to the side. But last week, we went over social-emotional learning and what that is, and that really that's the how. Remember, that's the how the government-run education system is indoctrinating the youth of this country. How they're getting this information in, and they're bringing it across as beneficial to the whole child. But they're being clear that academics is no longer their focus. It's this, social-emotional learning, and that it's important that I remind us today that it is to be woven in. We read those words last week. It's to be woven into every aspect of the day. That's going to become important as we move through today and look at opting out. I had a really good conversation with my father this week regarding some of these things, and I reminded him, and no way was this a slam, that you're a boomer. You're a baby boomer. You went to school in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Where school was about reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's hard for that generation, my generation, even though I'm not a boomer, those that are my age and older, it's hard for us to understand that that is not what school is any longer about, because his response is, well, the teacher can just not teach that stuff. You're going to see today that that's not how it is anymore. Unfortunately, arithmetic as well. The subjects that are being taught in school are being taught from a critical theory point of view, from a new history. This is how we understand history now because of critical race theory, right? This is how we understand privilege now. And we just cancel things. You guys have seen it all happen. I don't have to remind you about all that. But that is the history they're getting. The language arts that they're getting has this agenda wrapped up into it, and we're going to see what the agenda is today. And we've called into question not only the system, but the educators, because due to this social-emotional learning, their personal feelings and their beliefs are an issue now, where they weren't before. They are now, because they're the ones that are going to be leading your children and teaching them what is socially and emotionally important or possible. So what does the California Department of Education? We're just going to look at two documents today, and then we're going to see a video at the end. We're going to watch it at length. It's about 7 to 7.5 minutes put out by a guy named Matt Walsh. Some of you may recognize that name. And I will prep you a little bit for that video when that comes at the end. And I want to do my best to leave opportunity for questions today. So I first want to draw our attention to California's health education initiatives. Okay, so it's a document that looks like this. Obviously, you can't see mine, but it's a web page you can go to. And these slides are just blown up little portions of that. California's health education initiatives, if you remember the first slide, it says, it said public education and their beliefs. Because every system has a set of beliefs. It's important to remember that and what they're teaching. I did my best to blow this up as big as I could, but I will read to you especially the highlighted parts. Essentially, what this document, what it is or what it does is explain kind of their ideas and their curriculum on health education, right? So in the past, and we've all had this, we've had sex ed to one way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter how old you are, you had that, and you could opt out of that. So we're going to talk about that a lot throughout today. This document just outlines what health education is and what it encompasses, and that is now just different than just one afternoon worth of sex ed, you know, that we all got in school, and it's different now. And this is essentially what I would call a gateway to what the California Department of Education believes and will pursue in the classroom. Now, I'm giving you the highlights. Today, again, is not intended to be a name-calling session. I could literally go through every two or three sentences of this with you guys over the next 2 months, because that's just how thick with information it is, but that's not the point. The point's to give you an overall snapshot of really the corruption that's involved, and so I've tried to pick out a handful of different things. So what is the California Healthy Youth Act? Right here, the highlighted portions. It provides students with what? This is an important term. Comprehensive sexual health education. That's a term that we need to remember. Comprehensive sexual health education, along with information about HIV prevention, okay? Words are important. That particular term is going to come up a number of times throughout this morning as we look at these documents, and that the second document that we're going to look at, it might, some of the dots might get even a little bit more connected, because how we define that word, comprehensive sexual health education, is important. State legislation also allows districts, so this is guided or aimed at essentially 7th through 12th graders. 7th through 12th graders in the public education system are mandated to have at two different times, two different years. I want to say it's like 8th grade, 7th grade and 10th grade. So mandatorily they get a lot of this information in 7th grade and 10th grade. However, here you'll see in plain black and white, state legislation also allows districts to offer age-appropriate sexual health education in earlier grades if they choose to do so. But parents can opt out. What can they opt out of? Comprehensive sexual health education. We're going to define that. Well, we're going to let them define that in just a little bit. So why did I underline that? You would be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. Hopefully you wouldn't. At what age-appropriate sexual health education in our grade system is. I have chosen not to show you any of this because I could have attained slides, and without getting into it, it would have been inappropriate for me to show these slides in this room full of adults. If that doesn't tell you something, it should. I mentioned this last week, and just to reiterate how bad it is, how bad this age-appropriate sexual health education is. A really good friend of ours who's been a teacher for 17 years was resigning. Her last day was Friday because she's a science teacher at the sixth grade level, and she just couldn't do it. She happens to be Roman Catholic, and due to her faith, she can no longer teach in the public school system because they won't allow her to not teach something that's age appropriate. So are schools required? The question or the thought comes up a lot. Well, just take your kid out of that day, right? And some of us have a memory of that day, right? They separated the boys and the girls, which you can no longer do because that's discrimination. And they gave appropriate information to a boy and to a girl, things that a seventh grade boy doesn't need to know. They didn't teach him in school. That's not how it is anymore. Because according to the California Department of Education, we saw, oh, maybe we didn't see last week, there is no such thing as the boy and the girl anymore. So are all schools required to teach comprehensive sexual health education? Comprehensive sexual health education as education regarding human development and sexuality, including education on pregnancy, contraception, and sexually transmitted diseases. So we're going to get to, can you see it? It might not be the right color. There's a link in there that's this. This is the document that's going to explain what LGBTQ inclusivity requirements are and how they interact with parental opt-out. So we're going to take a look at that document next. A lot in here, and again, the blue didn't come through. If it's blue, you click on it. It's a link to another document or page that the Department of Education gives you. So it's not hard to find these things. Can parents opt out of sex education? Well, right there, yes, right? You got to read more. The law makes it clear that parents can opt out. What can they opt out of? Comprehensive sex education, according to the language in, and then it gives you a state document. I underlined medically accurate there, because again, I'm going to save you the time. We just don't have the time to look at all the documents and talk about all the things. So you can go look these things up for yourself, but this term comes up a lot in these documentation, medically accurate. They use it a lot, medically accurate. So I went to these medically accurate websites, and most of them are very, very not medically accurate. The only illustration that I will give you of that is, first and foremost, that these medically accurate websites do not acknowledge the difference between a boy and a girl. So if your medical system does not know, or your documentation on what's medically accurate, if they don't know that there's only two genders, two sexes, whatever word you want to use, how medically accurate really is everything else. Again, I combed through a lot of them and just decided it's not worth our time. You just need to know that they're not medically accurate by a long shot. So it would seem as though parents can opt out. Now, they do some work here in this documentation because they know they're going to get kickback. They do some work here to try to stay out in front of that. Can parents opt out of sex education lessons? Just below that, it says, can parents opt out of instruction or materials that discuss gender, gender identity, gender expression, or sexual orientation? Well, right there they mention, as you see, I highlighted it for you, as mentioned above. Well, the answer above was yes. Okay, good. Let's skip it, unless you read the rest. They can opt out of comprehensive. I've used this term a lot, haven't I? They can opt out of comprehensive sexual health education. And then here we have our document. It showed up in blue down there. To read more about the inclusivity requirements, we're going to go through that document next. I'm going to read this next paragraph to you. I don't think that I need to comment. Again, I went through this class and was like, oh, I could make a bunch of comments on all this stuff and we'd be here for days and days. I'm just going to read it to you and you can listen and hear what they have to say. So, regarding the question, can parents opt out of gender identity, gender stuff? Here's what they say. However, as stated in Ed Code, blah, blah, the opt-out provision of California Healthy Youth Act does not apply to instruction or materials outside of the context of comprehensive sexual health education, including those that may reference gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, discrimination, bullying, relationships, or family. For example, the example is important. The opt-out rule associated with comprehensive sexual health education would not apply to a social studies lesson in the U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 ruling in favor of same-sex marriage. Are you getting it? Are you seeing how last week and this week work together? Because you can't opt out of social studies class. You can't opt out of science class. You can only opt out of comprehensive sexual health education. That opens up the door for the teacher to become the parent when we are having a social studies discussion on the 2015 ruling in favor of same-sex marriage, to teach your children that that's an okay lifestyle. And this is more towards the end. They go into a few more questions. Again, this is, we could go through every line of this document, and I don't think that would be a valid use of our time. I just want to highlight for you and show you this global game of spot the lie here. Here's where they're trying to kind of head off at the pass some of these questions. I read that the framework includes controversial teaching about sexual relations and sexual orientation and gender. Is that true? The framework does not mandate what should or should not be taught. Okay, that sounds good, kinda, except for the fact that they have to address this question in the first place. But remember what we've talked about the last 18 weeks. Words are important. I read that the framework includes controversial teachings. What does California think is controversial? The framework does provide guidance to teachers in using inclusive classroom language. So what they're saying here is that the curriculum doesn't have a word-for-word script that the teachers are to follow, which is true. And if you watched some of the, I've watched some of the slideshows from some of the districts around us that really are about bullying, and they really are about being a nice kid. They really are. However, they're being taught by a teacher who has been enabled to essentially guide and direct that conversation however they see fit, because there is no script. So what we do need to see, and what we'll look at in the next document, this will become more apparent, is what the temperature of that is, what the school districts or what the state of California says, this is what our belief systems are. Because even though they don't mandate what should or should not be taught, that's tricky language, because they do. And I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. They don't dictate the exact words that are supposed to come out of your mouth, but they most certainly, again, as you will see, do dictate what must be taught in the classrooms. So this is what it is. This is what they're calling health education. California's healthy education initiatives. So I told you we're going to move on to that next document. It was one of the links in there before we watch our clip here. It was one of the links in there. And although they say that, like in this slide here, it doesn't provide guidance, or all it does is provide guidance to teachers. It doesn't mandate what's taught. Well, let's find out what the state of California does mandate. So this is the next document, the LGBTQ inclusivity requirements and how they interact with parent opt-out, because that's starting to become important. If you remember, I remember having a conversation with my wife 2 or 3 years ago, because before we pulled our kids out of public education, prior to them going to public education, we started seeing some of this happen. And the conversation between us was, we need to have a conversation now with what the line is. Because I was really frustrated. And a couple of years ago, a superintendent, I don't remember what state, it wasn't California, but they started teaching some of this stuff in the schools. And the superintendent of that particular district came right out and told the news, the parents do not have the right to know what I'm teaching in my classrooms, and they may not withdraw their students from this. He came right out, straight out, and said it. And I remember, I was all heated. She came home, and I was like, that's it. If anything like that ever happened, I'll drive, and my kids will never go back. And she agreed, you know, luckily, and now we're blessed to not have our children in this system. But you need to know what's going on out there. So this is what their belief systems are. Remember, medically accurate. The reason that I highlighted this last little part was just because they keep mentioning medical accuracy, and this one's probably really hard to see. So it says that this act, which is the California Healthy Youth Act, is strengthened and updated. Strengthened is an interesting word. Strengthened and updated education code requirements to ensure, are you ready? That all students of all genders, that's the medical accuracy that they put in their first, in their initial documentation to tell you what this is about. All students of all genders and all sexual orientations are what? What's that word? Anybody read it? Affirmatively included. That's an important word, is it? The word affirmatively included is important. It doesn't just say included. Obviously, we're not going to go around hating on people, but within the language of what they're saying their belief systems are and what you're going to be teaching your children is an affirmative inclusion, which means the teachers out there, regardless of their belief systems, are being told that this is how it should go. There's a whole lot in this paragraph. I underlined and highlighted a bunch of it, so I'm just going to read it. If you can see it, there's a couple of highlighted parts, but I'm going to read some of this to you. Under the California Healthy Youth Act, all comprehensive sexual health and HIV prevention instruction and materials in grade K through 12 must be inclusive of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and or queer LGBTQ students. Okay, I'm not saying that I'm going to go out harassing, you know, but they're being clear what their beliefs are. It must be inclusive. Instruction, this is important. Instruction must affirmatively recognize that people have different sexual orientations. And when discussing or providing examples of relationships and couples, must be inclusive of same-sex relationships. So two slides ago, you saw that they do not mandate what is being taught. Is that true? No. You just witnessed the lie happen right before you. You had to click on a link to figure that out. But they clearly tell you what you must affirmatively teach. You must teach inclusive same-sex relations. It also must teach students about gender, gender expression, gender identity, and explore the harm of negative gender stereotypes. That means that schools must teach about sexual orientation and transgender, cisgender, and non-binary. Remember that word, medical accuracy? Those are made-up words. Cisgender, that literally is a made-up word. Now, it describes something today, but that's not medically accurate. So, does the teacher have a choice what they teach? According to this document, no. Now, it hasn't trickled into all aspects, but it certainly is being attempted to. History, science, and English were the easy ones. It's there. It's there and it's being taught. Math is the last. Currently, this type of information doesn't exactly find its way into math, with the exception of like a word problem that might have a same-sex couple in it. Why does it need to be in a math word problem? Who knows? But if you remember, over the last year or two, they are struggling to make it discriminatory to have one solid answer to a math question. I don't understand how to say that to you other than 2 + 2 may not equal 4, because if you grew up in a situation where you were oppressed, that might not be the answer for you. And they're trying to make that legal. They're trying to make that legal. Like math. Math is literally the only universal language in the whole world. Everybody speaks the same thing. 1 + 1, 2. 2 + 2, 4. That is being legally changed right now. We'll see how far it goes. California law further prohibits bias. I highlighted that because I find it interesting. It does not prohibit bias. It is biased, right? We're learning to spot the lie. Why is it biased? Because it must affirmatively include this. Isn't that a bias? Okay. These, by the way, are tactics we can use in all different aspects of our lives to notice the wording of things. California law further prohibits bias in any school instruction or activity on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, what they're getting at here, at least in part, is that they're trying to protect students. This is probably how they'd word it. They're trying to protect students against harassment and bullying. And at the heart of that message, I do not advocate harassment. It shouldn't be on campus, is the point. Like, there should be no harassment based on gender. Like, we just go to school to learn math and English and science. But what they've done is write an entire curriculum on what you must and must not do. California law also affirmatively requires schools to include instruction on LGBTQ people in history and social sciences. So, and they said it's not mandated. Was that true? Nope. It's required. It's affirmatively required to include in history. My question to this little statement would be, what in the world does somebody's sexual identity have to do with science or history? I can't figure it out. But it's there, as a matter of fact. Not only that, but I forget who brought home, one of my kids or my wife, somebody, brought home like a report on a famous artist, I want to say. The first paragraph was about what they did. The second paragraph was about their sexual identity. This was from history past, 200-300 years ago. And I just remember reading it going like, it was a second grade, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, really? You're reading it right here in black and white. Before we get to our video, we'll look at one or two more of these. Try to make it through. Schools may not facilitate. This is where kind of we get to the meat and potatoes. Schools may not facilitate selective opt-out of LGBTQ-related content. You read what that said? They may not facilitate selective opt-out of anything LGBTQ-related. The California Healthy Youth Act permits parents, guardians to opt out of all or part of what? Comprehensive sexual health and HIV prevention instruction. However, as it pertains to the or part language of the law, schools may not facilitate the selective opt-out of lessons that are focused on LGBTQ content by parents or guardians whose students are otherwise in the classroom. There's your answer. They may not opt out of anything other than comprehensive sexual health education. This information is really so you can't opt out. They don't say that, but that's what it is. In order to meet the requirements, in order for a school to meet the requirements of the California Healthy Youth Act, which is a legal act, schools must integrate LGBTQ people throughout the curriculum, and they may not isolate this content to particular lessons. Which lessons do you think those are? Comprehensive sexual health education. So if it's everywhere else, you can still opt out of comprehensive sexual education, but you can't opt out of everything else. Separating them, and this the last little, I won't read it, but the last little three lines that are highlighted there essentially reveals that it would be discrimination, it would be against discrimination laws, which it is. The state of California's hands are tied when it comes to that because it's literally a law. If you separate them out, now you've discriminated, and the school can be legally liable. I'm not going to read this whole paragraph to you. There's a few things that are highlighted because we're already short on time. But I am going to point out this middle part, and I'll read that to you because we keep talking about the California Healthy Youth Act and comprehensive sexual health. What is that? Here you go. I told you we'd connect the dots. When the topics referenced in this number that was before this are addressed in instruction or programming that does not discuss reproductive organs. For example, mandated instruction about contributions of the LGBTQ people in history. So why is that word important? Because a little further down you'll see that instruction, which instruction? Instructions that do not discuss reproductive organs is not comprehensive sexual health. With just a little bit of reading and connecting the dots, you can see what's the definition, according to the state of California, of comprehensive sexual health. Any discussion that specifically and only has to do with reproductive organs. Everything else is woven in and must be woven in to all learning in all subjects and must be affirmatively included. This is the last slide before we get to our video. Schools are not permitted to allow parents to opt their children out of any generally provided instruction, especially any programming or instruction relating to LGBTQ issues. Provided under a school's affirmative obligation to protect LGBTQ students. So again, remember, some of this is due in part to the legal system, the actual legal system in the federal and the state saying that you can't discriminate. But here they're saying schools aren't permitted to allow parents to opt their children out of generally provided instruction, especially instruction on LGBTQ students. What did we learn from this type of instruction? It must be woven in to all aspects of the day. Those are the only two documents we have time to go through. Not that you want to do this all day. Like I said, it can make you angry. Can make you sad. It really can. One thing that I'm not going to go into, and I'll field questions on if there is, but I want to mention this because this is vitally important. Every time I tell somebody who does not have a student, which is most of us in here, in the public education system, they cannot believe that I'm not lying. When it comes to the medical health of students, at least in most districts that I know of at this point, which isn't very many of them, they are told by the administration at the beginning of the year and throughout the year. The students are made sure to understand that if they have a problem or they need medical care, including birth control or an abortion, they are to come to the administration first. Always come to the administration first, and they will handle everything for you. They will make the appointments for you. If the student comes to the administration first, it becomes illegal for the parent to know or be involved in anything further regarding that issue, with the exception of sexual abuse. If the student claims that they were raped, at that point, the doctor, because he's a doctor, is mandated to report it to some adult in that child's life. But from the age, I think the age is 11, but from the age of 11 on, if a student comes and tells their guidance counselor, I want some birth control, now it is illegal for the doctor and the school, and the school celebrates this. They want their children to know, you're safe here, you're safe with me. It's illegal for either of them to involve the parent at that point. They can go get an abortion on a day they're at school. Mom and dad will never even know, because the school will make the appointment for them. It's all legal and paid for by, well, probably by us. I don't know. We won't get too much more into it than that, but every time I've told people, it almost gives them a jaw-dropping, like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm not. That's the state that our society is in. Those are only a few documents before we go into our clip that deal with the inclusivity, and that's just one avenue. That's not Black Lives Matter. That's not everything else. That's just LGBTQ inclusivity, and I thought that would highlight what the school, the public education's belief system now is. And it's important, like I said, to know that the educators have been given authority, essentially, to teach their set of socially and emotional set of morals in the classroom. I really want to get to this, and we're not going to have tons and tons of time. I apologize for questions, but I want to get to this this video. So
one of the major reasons why nothing works in this country and all of our institutions are collapsing is that very few people, especially those running those institutions, are capable of seeing beyond themselves. They don't care about anything greater than themselves. They don't recognize that anything greater than themselves can even exist. They certainly aren't focused on the larger mission of the institution, but instead are totally enveloped in their own egos. This intense self-focus destroys every institution down to the smallest and most essential one, like the family. The institution can't survive if everybody within that institution, everybody who's in charge of leading it, spends all day staring at their own reflections. Somebody needs to be focused on the grander, broader vision. Somebody needs to take the long view, a view in which they are not the central figure. But few people these days are capable of that. There's a term that's become popular on social media called main character syndrome. This describes people who imagine themselves to be the protagonists, the leads, and their lives to be some sort of cinematic feature film in which they are the star. You could really just use the term narcissist here because it has basically the same meaning, except that main character syndrome is helpful because it captures the way that so many people today tend to not only place themselves at the center of the universe, but also fictionalize the universe at the same time. They're the main characters in the story of their lives, but that story has only a tangential relationship to the truth. It's sort of based on true events at best. We could take this main character phenomenon and relate it back to the collapse of our societal institutions, and there's probably no institution that suffers more from this problem than the education system. The problem in education today, well, one of the great many problems, is not just that so many teachers are intensely ideological, but that they're also intensely self-centered, which leads them to believe that it can never be inappropriate for them to indoctrinate their students. After all, the class they're teaching is really all about them. Everything's about them. They are the subject. They've been hired to teach history or algebra or English literature or whatever, but their real job, as far as they're concerned, is to shape the students into little versions of themselves. And all of this explains the recent trend of teachers coming out to their students during class. I've seen at least three videos documenting this in just the last few weeks. We played one several days ago where a high school teacher records himself in class as he called the students' attention to himself and proceeded to inform them that he is non-binary and his preferred pronouns are all pronouns. He is all things to all people, as the Apostle Paul once wrote, though in a very different context. We're not going to play that video again, but we do have two more. First, here's another non-binary teacher talking about her experiences coming out to her students And she's talking about that in response to a question from another teacher who is also non-binary. And here's what she says.
You can be reasonably assured that you are safe being out on your campus. Then do it. Before coming out as non-binary, I would come out to my students every October on National Coming Out Day. I would use that as an opportunity for my students to learn how to receive somebody coming out to them in case that had never happened to them before. We used it as a way to talk to each other about empathy, about connection, about trust. It ended up being a wonderful experience that I had with my students every single year. So think about what you would have needed when you were in high school or middle school or whatever grade you're teaching. For some students, just the knowledge that a queer adult exists within their world is hugely impactful. You don't really have to do anything other than be visible for these students to feel safer and more accepted and more at home when they're on campus. It does so much for students who don't have that in other places in their lives. For that reason, my classroom is one of the gayest places probably on the planet. Everything is completely covered in rainbows. I've got flags everywhere. I've got queer literature because I want every student that I have to know that being queer is something that I am proud of, something that is not a secret in my life. It's something that I care about and something that connects me to other people. I'll end by saying that for me, being visibly queer is a non-negotiable. I introduced myself this year with my pronouns immediately. It was one of the first things that students learned about me.
You know, somehow the most irritating part of that was still the word impactful. Just an awful word. But that's beside the point. The point is that this pathologically self-absorbed narcissist enjoys the attention and self-congratulation of coming out so much that she does it every year. She has, by her own admission, turned her entire classroom into a temple to herself. The only thing that's missing is, like, the incense and the hooded monks chanting in an ancient language, as is this religious temple of self-worship. Every day in her classroom, it is a chance for all of her students to join her in worshiping herself. It is a celebration of her own sexual proclivities. And she doesn't feel weird about inviting kids to take part in that celebration, or forcing them to, in fact, because this is her we're talking about. And what could be more important, what subject could be more pressing than the subject of herself? That was also the approach of the teacher in the next clip, who recorded a video sharing her thoughts after having just come out to her sixth grade students. It was important that the sixth graders be told, you know, who she likes to sleep with. They really needed to know that information about their teacher's sexual behavior, so she was sure to inform them.
So I just came out to my students. I've been wanting to do this for the past 2 years. Sorry, I'm like so emotional. And I just haven't had the courage to do it out of fear of judgment, mostly from their parents. But I had these kids in fourth grade, and now I have them in sixth, and I'm sending them to middle school, and I love these kids so much, and I trust them, and they make me feel safe, and I know they love me, and it just felt right, and I did it, and it was so beautiful. They had so many questions, which I loved. They wanted to learn, and they wanted to learn about me, and they were so eager, and a few of them clapped, which was so precious.
So you notice how this was a spontaneous and emotional video revealing her true feelings, and yet she took the time to edit and add the inspirational soundtrack in the background. I mean, it's hard to think of a better example of main character syndrome than that. Notice also how she says that, they make me feel safe. That's an adult woman, a teacher, referring to the 11-year-old in her classroom. And she says that they wanted to learn about me. And maybe they did, or maybe they felt forced to pretend that they did. But whatever the case, do we send kids to school so that they can learn about their teachers? As far as these teachers are concerned, the answer is yes. What subject could be more important than the subject of themselves? And on the subject of themselves, what could be a more important detail than their sex lives? See, they see themselves as defined by their sex lives, and they see the world as revolving around themselves, which means that the world revolves around their sex lives. This mentality makes for dysfunctional people. And with enough of these people in the education system, whatever their sexual orientation, it makes for a dysfunctional education system. And that is why teachers who come out to their students are today, certainly, and finally, canceled.
These have just been words on a page for the most part. All I did was show you the printed words of the California Department of Education and the actual atmosphere of or on a public school system is far worse than what you saw as words on a page. At least at the middle school level and up. It still hasn't fully trickled down into the like K-1 and 2, but it's there, and it's getting there. We don't need to go through every single aspect of how the system is not, or how the system is not only failing to educate, but is really just indoctrinating students to see the reality of what's out there. It's been hard. It's been a hard couple of weeks for me, but I don't want that to go away, because that hopefully, to some extent, will motivate us to share what the truth is, because the kids, a lot of these kids out there, they don't have an option. Because their parents force them into these situations. I know of one particular school in the area. It's a high school, but every single classroom, and this was celebrated at the district level. It was celebrated in front of every teacher in the district because it was a mandatory meeting. This high school has a gay pride flag in every single classroom at the high school level and in every office. And that was celebrated and championed by the leaders of the superintendent on down. So that's what we're dealing with. And I also know that there are students who get uncomfortable by this. I have knowledge of students that finally have a teacher that they might confide in and say, oh, it's kind of weird, you know, and that's as much as like a junior high level kid might say. I told you I'd give you a bunch of time for questions and I didn't, because I apologize. It just kind of went on. I'm still, interested in hearing your questions, but let's pray and, we'll take it from there. Dear Heavenly Father, this information is heavy and it's weighty and it's the world that we're in, Lord, but we pray that it's not the world we're of. Lord, give us the strength to stand firm, no matter what the cost is, because the cost gets greater and greater as the world out there gets worse and worse. So Father, give us strength, give us perseverance to stand firm and to follow you. I pray that we'll use this information to help the youth around us and to help the parents around us make quality decisions on how to educate their students and first and foremost, educate them in the gospel. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So, questions. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So I can understand when teachers... when they resign, like the one lady, the one teacher you were talking about who resigned because she's a Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
Anyone who has kind of a, for lack of a better word, like a religious, you know, kind of whether you're a believer or quasi-Christian or whatever. I can understand why they would want to resign because they don't want to teach those things and especially show those pictures, which I know exactly what you're talking about, because I could not believe what these kids are looking at. Anyway.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is how teachers are okay with showing that to these little kids. I'm like, I would be humiliated. I would be ashamed. I would be scared. I would feel sorry for those parents. I don't understand that.
So that's the best word that you, or the best words you probably could have used is I don't understand. And that's fantastic that you don't understand because it means you're in the truth and you can see what the light is. The problem is that many of them celebrate that. Just like the kind of teachers that you heard from. So you think that it's weird because it's inappropriate, which it is. And you have a hard time understanding why they would want to do that because that's not what your life revolves around. That Matt Walsh said it really, really well. And it's something that we kind of went over a little bit during the 4-week kind of LGBTQ series. This is how these folks identify. So it's their whole entire world. So sharing that, getting to share that with a group of students and teach the students to be just like they are for them is a really happy thing. We should allow them to know all this and be able to make any choices that they want to make. So I
can see why they'd want to do that. My thing is I don't understand how they can actually show pictures and be graphic to these little kids about sexual education, whatever they want to call it.
Like, I don't have a good answer for
you. How do you even show that stuff?
Other than many of them are not.
And to feel safe with a bunch of little kids. I don't ever have to feel safe with my kids. They should feel safe with me.
I would say that the majority, and this is, I'm making these numbers up in my head, but based on my own experience, the majority of teachers appreciate this and want to be societally correct. I don't have a better word for that. So the majority of them fall into that. You have a narrow margin of them that might think that it's not okay, or they might feel funny about it to an extent a little bit, but they still do it because it's their job, and you show up and go to work. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, well, I don't exactly agree with this, but I'm not exactly against it either. And then you have the smallest majority of them. And by smallest, I would guesstimate 1 to 2 bodies per school that are showing up that are against this, due to whatever religious beliefs or other, by the way. And those are the teachers. And again, I really, we know a lot of them, and I struggle for them. It hasn't hit math, and that's where we're involved at the moment is math. So we haven't been forced to make some of these hard decisions, but there's a lot of people out there that are, because if my wife was forced to teach this stuff, she wouldn't. It would be her last day, and then we'd have to go from there. But it's that simple. It's that simple to make from a faith-based, like, I cannot teach this. If you're going to require me to, that's it. Today is my last day. So we need to be in prayer for that system and for this world, because there are a lot of students out there, for the most part, all of the students, because none of them are 18. They don't have a choice. They're going where their parents are sending them. There's only one example, and my heart truly breaks for this example. I can't figure out why anybody would leave their children in public education. That's a statement I wouldn't have made 10 years ago. By a long shot, I have learned and grown a lot since then and seen what reality is. But I can't understand why somebody who claims to be a Christian, or any other popular religion for that matter, would leave their children in the public education system, with the except other than the fact that a lot of them are focused on themselves, with the exception, and this is a big one, of divorced parents that cannot agree. I have friends that fall into this category, and one of the two parents will not allow their children to be withdrawn, and there's nothing they can do. They're a single parent. They don't make the choice. The court makes the choice with where, and so their kids are stuck. And that's why, or one of the reasons that motivates me to continue to do everything I can.